Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
When you heard that music in Nats Park, someone was about to hit a double off your ass. That was about to happen.
Backspin, elevated, turn and burn, outfielders.
20 years of Nats baseball being celebrated all season long, and this weekend the Nats are bringing back a few legends, one of whom we saw on the list. We said, we got to talk to him. We have not had the chance to talk to Daniel Murphy in some time. People just sleep on the 2016-2017 All-Star seasons, the runner-up for the Most Valuable Player Award that Murphy put together, leading the league in doubles over those 2 years, led the league in slug and OPS in 16. Really, over those 2 years, one of the best stretches we've seen by any Nats hitter. And he joins us now on the hotline here on Grant and Danny. Daniel, it is good to catch up with you, man. How are you?
I'm doing great, fellas. Thank you for having me. You humble me. I appreciate that. You start sending the dropkick Murphys. You make me want to grab a bat, but I'm too old and slow for that, but I still want to grab it.
I disagree. You could still hit, dude. Yeah, I guarantee it.
I said yesterday, and I legitimately mean this, if you got in the batter's box tonight, I'm not guaranteeing a hit because baseball's a cruel mistress. I think you're putting three balls in play.
Oh, it makes my heart sing to hear you say that because accuracy isn't quite, it seems, as I wouldn't say valued, but it's a little more difficult to find as the game gets more modern. And that was like the only tool I had for a long time in the big leagues was like I was going to touch you at home plate, at least make a foul. And that's just the way I kind of grew up with my dad throwing to me and my brother. Like, we really valued accuracy. And, you know, once you figure out, you know, if I could just play against the right fielder about 500 times, we'd put together a couple pretty good seasons.
Only one guy on defense. It would have been easier for a lot of hitters. But you mentioned that, Daniel. You never struck out 100 times in a season. Just remarkable by today's standards. Over the years, though, how did you see pitching evolve? Like, it just some of the stuff that hitters had access to in terms of video, pitchers started doing that, and then they ran with it, too, with their pitch shape and stuff and supinating their pronators and tying rocket ships to their, to their hips and all these kinds of things. Just seems like stuff is nastier every second of every day.
It does. It does. It's definitely the velocity's harder. You know, they throw harder, without a doubt. But I tried to break things down kind of to, like, the simplest possible thing for me, because I wouldn't claim to be very smart at all, but I'm trying to get base hits, and I found that getting base hits was trying to keep it as simple as possible. And I was reading a book by Christy Mathewson, and he said that pitchers only recognize two types of pitch balls, curve and straight. And it really struck me, because in reality, the pitcher can only, he can curve it right to left, like the new modern age sweeper, you know what I mean, that Dennis Eckersley used to throw.
Yep.
Nothing new under the sun. Or you can curve it top to bottom, like a Justin Verlander or Steven Strasburg. And then you can straight it, so you can throw splitters the way they do now, or ghost forks, or those things. But in reality, that's just a slow straight one. You could cut it, you could sink it. And so the way I tried to look at it was, like, I wanted to pick a spot out of the pitcher's hand to have it start to where it would finish where I wanted. And after getting with, K-Long and Pat Rossler, and then had K-Long in D.C. and Rick Shue as well, just like my big thing was, like, I wanted to eliminate the infielders, and I wanted to basically try to corner you into a position in the strike zone, because really baseball boils down to a fight over the strike zone. Like, that's the most important piece of real estate in baseball. And I wanted to get one close to me, beat the first and second baseman in the air, try to score somebody from first, basically. By the time I got here, I couldn't run out of sight in a week. I ran a little bit when I was younger, but that's a young man's game. So, like, if I hit a single, I'm asking one of my buddies behind me, like Zim or Harp, or depending where I'm hitting, or Willie Ramos, who's going to be in the house this weekend, to hit a double. So I just kind of decided I'm going to be the one to try to hit a double. I'll see if I could score him from first.
Daniel Murphy, one of the great hitters that's come through here at Nats Park, back for the 20-year celebration on Grant and Danny, talking hitting with him on The Fan. As I mentioned, in those two seasons, led the league in doubles both years, and in slug one year, was a runner-up for MVP. You mentioned, though, working with Kalong, and all the stories now are you start lifting the ball in that epic run with the Mets in the playoffs in 15, and obviously that carries over. What do people get right and wrong, though, about what I'll call, like, the launch angle era? Because, you know, it's funny, still today, like, I've got a buddy who played indie league ball and works with kids, and, you know, he works with coaches, and some of them, when they even hear launch angle, it's like, they want to, like, grab someone's neck, you know, but it's become this, like, territorial thing in baseball.
Yeah, I think launch angle is a measurement. So we can now measure what they used to say, how old am I now, 40? So 30 years ago when I was on the sandlots with my coaches, say, I want you to hit a line drive in the gap. Now it's just more quantifiable. I know that at 10 degrees you beat the infielders, but I didn't really care other than I knew how to measure it. And so I think that's part of what maybe gets mistaken, and that launch angle is only a measurement. We're still trying to drive the ball in the gap. If I may take it a step maybe back, is like I try to really break it down foundationally. What is the scoreboard asking me? The scoreboard gives me a problem to solve every single pitch, and it changes. Like, a runner gets on first base, the defense has to rearrange the furniture. You know what I mean? Like, the first baseman's got to go hold him on. And so the scoreboard dictates what you get to do on defense. The scoreboard dictates what we get to do on offense. If I've got a runner at third base and less than two outs, it is telling me right now you have to be accurate at all costs. This ball has to get pushed forward. And so once you work it back from that, if I'm facing Scherzer or Straws, you know what I mean, and I know that they've got a kill shot with me with two strikes and a runner on third less than two outs, well, I don't want to get to two strikes. Mm-hmm. I may take a swing earlier in the count to make sure I push this ball forward. Selfishly, I want to hit a sac fly because I don't like an 0-for-1. I'd rather not if I could, but I got to get this ball going forward. And so I do think that there is an opportunity as the game gets more modernized for the players to read the scoreboard better, without a doubt. Like, strikeouts are up, and there's a time and place for a strikeout. Like, if I'm hitting a double play, I'm sure Dusty would prefer me hit to a, you know, 4-6-3, you know, other than or strike out other than hitting into a double play. So there's a time to take a chance. But for the most part, accuracy is king. Where are we going to try to be accurate too? If there's nobody on, you know what I mean? I want to touch second from home plate, because you're talking about your buddy playing independent ball. I went back to the bushes in 23. Went and played in Long Island with Wally Backman.
That's like, right. Long Island
I had
Ducks.
A blast, yeah. And the reason I had a chance to go and play in Salt Lake with the Angels as well too. The reason I got booted out again of baseball is because I couldn't touch second base from home plate. Like, offensively, you got to be able to get the scoring position. And when I was younger, I could run a little bit, so I could hit some singles and the doubles I did. But as I got older and slow, like, I got to hit a double, and only 7% of ground balls go for extra bases. At least that was the stat that Pat Rossler told me now 10 years ago. So if I want to touch second base from home plate, I got to play against the outfielders.
Daniel Murphy with us here on Grant and Danny. So I remember over the years, just we would get to go in the clubhouse and, you know, during media access, whatever, and you know, not necessarily to bother you while you were, you know, getting ready for a game, but I could count a million instances, Daniel, where I would see you at somebody's locker talking the way you're talking now. You know what I mean? Where it's just like spreading the gospel of hitting, or this approach, or this idea, or you could do this with your swing, or this is my timing. This is what works for me. I'm now on this part of the plate, and I look for this against this guy. That passion for the craft, that there are some of the great hitters of all time that I think of that kind of shared that. Is that sort of how you feel in terms of hitting a baseball, and have you thought about applying that as you know, a high-level hitting coach?
Well, I am the offensive coordinator for the 11U Blue Claws in Jacksonville, so I don't know if that's high level.
That's high level.
I do run the offensive approach for our Blue Claws team.
Sounds football-y. Is that a baseball offensive coordinator title?
No, sorry, yeah. No, it's my 11-year-old's baseball team that he's on.
Okay.
His little league team.
So yeah, I did the same for the Swamp Donkeys, Daniel, so I know what you're going
through.
Have the Swamp Donkeys played them yet?
I'm picking up what you're putting down.
We would get smoked by that group down there in Jacksonville. our 7U team would not fare very well.
Oh, I got a 7-year-old too, so maybe we end up hooking up. We get outside a little bit earlier than y'all do, but
yes,
I don't know if we'd beat the crap out of you.
I just like that
scuffle, like that bare knuckle brawl between the pitcher who's 60 feet away and the batter. Like, I love it. I just absolutely love it. I love fighting over that real estate 7x10 balls. You know what I mean? 7 ball wide by 10 balls high in the strike zone. And so to me, that's what it felt like. Like, this is a hunt. He's hunting me. I'm hunting him. And we both have gotten problems to solve from the scoreboard. And so, just trying to kind of corner the pitcher in as best I could. I just love talking about it. As I've gotten older, I've gotten less, I would say, mechanical and technical. I'm a little bit more of a hippie now, especially going playing an independent ball. Because as I watch, like, my boys move, I got an 11-year-old and a 7-year-old that ball, a 2-year-old, not yet. But, like, they move to me the same way I see that Ted Williams moves and Babe Ruth, like this style. So I don't mess with their style much. You know what I mean? I try to teach them, get you a good ball to hit, because that's what Roger Hornsby told Ted Williams when he asked him what it takes to be a great hitter. He said, get a good ball to hit. Get you a good one. And then from there, as best you can, try to hit it as hard as you can to the outfielders. You know what I mean? I'll tell them, pick your favorite outfielder to play against. Get you a good ball and pick your favorite outfielder. And so as I have kind of gotten older, I've gotten less technical, even though I can talk mechanics. Not that you kind of talked about me being at somebody's locker. I don't know if I was necessarily invited there, but I was going to sit down and we was going to talk ball, if you know what I mean. And that took some growing as well, too, that, like, everybody's process is different. And so I'm a bit more like, I want to talk it all the time. And, you know, playing with David in New York and Zim here, like, that's just not the way they ticked. Like, they were a little bit more free-flowing that I had to learn how to be, because I'm kind of a technician at heart. You know what I mean? I'm a tinkerer. I like to hold on to things, but I found that unless I'm willing to release the result, you know what I mean, and trust the work and the process and the things that have been put in the cage and our plan that's going into it individually and as a team, I won't go fast enough to be productive. So you have to have some real childlike play to you, in my opinion, to go fast enough to be productive.
I've found there's some research into this now. There was a book called The MVP Machine that came out, and they had this idea that it's become really important to have what's called a conduit. And, like, basically the idea is that players don't want to hear from nerds about what they need to do. Because, like, and we have Jason Wirth on the show pretty frequently now. And, like,
between his horse racing.
Exactly.
Good for you guys.
Yeah, seriously. Exactly. We're talking to him about, like, going to the Derby and whatnot. But, like, J-Dub will come on, and he told us this story. It's actually hilarious.
It was in Seattle, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The end of his career in Seattle, there's this, forget the kid's name, but let's say his name was Albert. He's like, this kid named Albert asked him to stop by his office after he hit in the cage or whatever. And so Wirth, like, sits down, and this kid gives him all his data and slides it across the desk. And he said, Albert, is that your name? And he's like, yeah. He's like, never talk to me again. And he stood up, and he, like, walked out of the office, right?
But he stands up at 6'4", and yeah, posing on him.
Yeah. Exactly.
And Albert's like, oh, okay, Mr. Wirth.
I promise.
Everything short of, like, lifting him up and giving him a swirly, yeah, right? But my point is, everyone wants these conduits. So the Nats now have this in Sean Doolittle, who was, like, a data analytical arm. So Jim Hickey says something, and Jake Irvin, like, rolls his eyes. But then Doolittle's there to, like, and I'm overstating this, right? But my point is, how important was that for you? Like, you were one of the few players that did all that and was probably on your own savant and looking at all these numbers. But, like, a lot of guys, like Zim, I'd imagine, or different guys are like, get away from me. It's like, what is that like now, do you think, compared to 10 years ago? And what was it like then?
Yeah, I think it's really relational and finding what the individual values and what they feel like is going to make them most productive. So, like, Zim wasn't adverse to data because he would go and take peeks at, like, tendencies and percentages of pitches that the pitchers would throw in certain situations and counts. And he'd be like, I'm just going to go look for it till I die. You know what I mean? I'll go look for it the hole. I'll go look for this curve because I think I'm going to get one. And the idea of a conduit, and there ain't one probably better in the big leagues than Sean Doolittle, because it, to me, it goes back to that scuffle. You know what I mean? And it's not to say that there's certainly a place for the fellas who can add and subtract and kind of say, you know, this seems to work for you, throw more cutters or more this, or, you know, look for this pitch at the plate. But the guys that have stood in there, have taken a punch, hopefully socked a couple people themselves and been able to give a punch. There's just something about that experience that you know, you've danced in the same place. Like I've been in the same sandlot as some of these guys. So when somebody comes in and I could see like, oh man, this guy is standing on his head. Well, one of my experiences is, well, as much as you're thinking about your swing and how you feel, I found that the pitcher's thinking as much about himself. So as bad as you think you're going, he don't know, not as much as you think. So let's get back to kind of what's the approach, what's the scoreboard asking me to help my team right now? Because I do like the aspect of the money ball and kind of the blackjack, you know what I mean? The scoreboard is going to give us things to do, and again, like problems to solve, get, you know, runner at second base and nobody out, get them over. The more times you do that to me is like playing blackjack and you give yourself the best chance for success. It's not going to happen all the time. But the more times you do what the scoreboard asks you to do, it's going to give you the best chance, I think, personally for success and the team for success. And I may have gotten that backwards, but you guys are picking up what I'm putting down.
Daniel Murphy on Grant and Danny. A couple of moments left with him, which is a shame because I could listen to him talk about hitting for hours and hours and hours. Last one I'll ask you on baseball, and then we want to figure out what you're doing this weekend. The electronic strike zone is almost certainly coming to the major leagues. It looks like next year we're going to have a challenge system, and whether we end there or ultimately every pitch is determined electronically is still up in the air. How would you have liked or not liked that?
I liked it. I used it in AAA. You know, so that was one of the nice things of coming back as an old man and trying to play again was I got a chance to use it. And so I would get frustrated when the umpires would expand the zone east and west. You know what I mean? Left or right. My bat's only so long. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like I can fight you north and south. Like I got a puncher's chance that way, but maybe an umpire, you know, will remain unnamed, but had a fairly egregious strike three call away to a lefty not too long ago. He's also thrown me out before in Baltimore. So there's the context clues for anyone who's listening. Like when you get me east and west, I don't feel like I've got nearly as much of a chance. And what the automated strike zone does is it keeps you on the plate. Now, I do think there will be some adjustments for a Steven Strasburg, Clayton Kershaw. I mean, you know, dating myself now because, you know, maybe Tarek Skubal type breaking balls, you know, 12-6 that will clip the bottom of the zone that the catcher may bounce and block. You know what I mean? He'll be looking to block those balls that have almost always and universally been balls that are getting the strike zone now. But I always felt like I had a puncher's chance if the umpire made him stay on the plate. So I am in favor of the ABS, you know, as long as the data is up to par.
Daniel, I have
technology.
I've got a text chain going with Laz Diaz. You want me to give you any messages from you?
Oh, no. I mean, I've said my piece to Laz. Like, you know, Michael Gibbons was trying to walk me in Baltimore, and Laz wouldn't let him. And so I got tossed for staying as much.
It isn't Laz. I mean, now Jason Worth has taken issue with a couple different guys with us, but that's one of the ones.
That's one of the guys.
He also brought
yes.
up. So that goes around, it sounds like. Hey, what is going on for the 20th this weekend? What are you taking part in?
So I know Sunday, family's going to come out with Adam LaRoche and Wilson Ramos and their family. And I think we're going to be able to do a Q&A, sign some autographs, and then I'm not certain what else. It's probably on the itinerary that Miss Sean from the Nationals sent me. But we're in Old Town right now, so we just did a lap like proper tourists around here. Got a good bit of pizza and got some ice cream, and I'm going to try to get out to the day game tomorrow with the boys. So the three of us are going to get out there and watch some ball. Like, really excited to be back. I can't say enough about how good the Nationals and the Learners and the organization and Mike Rizzo have been to my family and I when we were in D.C. and here now post-playing career.
How old are your little guys now?
We go 11. 9-year-old is our daughter, and then 7, 2.
Wow, 2? Look at you. Okay.
Yeah, we knew the rules, but you know what
right.
I mean.
Still play the game every now and then.
Yeah, familiar territory. Yeah.
That's relatable content around these parts, I'll say. I got one coming in a month, and Danny had one just a few months ago.
Yeah, 11, 7, and 4 months old, Daniel, so we're
Amen.
Not great planners. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Well, enjoy the trip back. I mean this. I mean, I really could listen to you talk hitting all day long. And
great stuff, dude.
You come
Seriously.
Up still more than you think, whether it's on this show or with Nats fans talking about some of the great players that have come through here. So thanks for hopping aboard.
Well, I appreciate it. That's humbling. If I see you guys out there this weekend, we'll talk a little ball. I could talk ball all day till the cows come home.
We'll be there, so we will see you. There's Daniel Murphy. Nats great. He will be part of the celebration of 20 years of Nats baseball over at the park. Sorry about that.
Sorry, everybody.
I mean, look.
Quick apologies.
I get I'm a nerd. I just got steamed up for that conversation.
What I hope everybody gets now is that kid in the candy store vibe where he's walking around, and he even made a joke about it, to every locker of anybody that's going to hold a bat at any point, including pitchers, by the way, before the universal DH, going, you could do it this way. You ever think about this hand position? You ever think about choking up this way? But if you put the pine tar right here, you face the label the certain way. And against this guy, the timing was when his front foot comes down, his left shoulder is a bit of a tell because sometimes like it's a never-ending commitment to hit the baseball better and just wants to bring everybody with him.
The shame of it is there's people that just don't know.
Yeah.
Like yesterday, Darris, Charlie Rotz, the 15-year-old who throws 85 miles an hour that we met at Walter Sports Bar. This kid is silly, by the way. 85 miles an hour as a 15-year-old.
Okay. All right.
He was taking a tour in Nats Park. I don't think they were like trying to sign him. I think he was just literally a fan that took a tour. And he came up to me and he's like, don't you cover the Nats? And I'm like, yeah, but he'd never heard of like FM radio or anything. That guy, right? He doesn't know anything about Daniel Murphy. What a shame that is.
Yeah.
Y'all need to find out. Ryan, who was like a big Nats fan back then, I don't even remember Daniel Murphy.
I barely even remember Murphy playing here is what he said.
Hard to believe that.
Yeah.
That you were that asleep.
Mm-hmm.
But my God, was he good. Clariso, Rick.
Yeah, he should be.
He's pretty salty right now. I did tell him he slept on Daniel Murphy and he about
threw. He went, oh, come on. No way.
I mean, just one of my favorite hitters of all time. Just the purest of pure swings. I love Daniel Murphy. I can watch his highlights all damn day.
If I'm Mike Rizzo, we're having a little conversation before he leaves about his interest in coaching. That's all I'm saying. Now, it sounds like he's got his hands full with his kids, but maybe he likes traveling a little bit.
Yeah, I would say.
During the spring and the summer.
What about utilizing his services down there in Florida? You know what I mean? Like either for folks in the organization down there, spring training time. I mean, his words of wisdom towards some hitting would be a good deal.
Second in the MVP vote. I would have lost. I don't remember that.
Yeah,
I mean,
led the league in OPS and slug.
I remember the amazing year. I would have said he was top five, maybe second to Chris Bryant, who used to be really good at baseball. Never forget that.
Do we remember that, by the way, when Chris Bryant was unbelievable?
He was so good. Fourth pick out of where? You're not going to pull it. You won't.
I don't know what college it was. Was it a college? At high school?
College.
UNLV.
No. He was from San Diego.
He played Little League with Bryce Harper.
Okay.
Didn't he?
May have. He went to the University of San Diego.
San Diego in?
San Diego on.
Was San Diego State or San Diego?
I believe he was a Torero. San Diego.
Not an Aztec.
And maybe they're not Toreros. I don't know what they are. San Diego, though.
San Diego.
That's what you're looking for. But back to the issue at hand.
Okay, thank you.
Daniel bleeping Murphy.
Murphy, dude.
That was great. I love that guy. Grant and Danny, with you on the fan, we're taking you up to 6:15 in Nats pregame.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want.
you'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Grant and Danny, welcoming you back. Thanks for listening to The Fan. 6:15 pregame, as Toby just told you, 6:45 start time for the Nats and the Marlins. Critical homestand after getting swept by the Mets, losing three straight series, losers of five in a row. Things are getting late early for the Nats as they try to get themselves back over 500, now eight under. You got two bad teams coming to your building. It is time to put some hay in the barn. They got to get it started tonight with Mitchell Parker on the hill. We'll get you the leadoff before we get out of here. But I wanted to discuss the comments of Zachary Parker, who is the council member in D.C. of Ward 5. This is actually one of the council members we have not had on the show yet. We're efforting to get him on. Maybe next week he'll stop through. But we've talked to about half of the city council at this point. Parker's one of the guys who has been very much TBD, like has not showed his cards as to whether or not he's for or against the stadium. But he put out a clip yesterday, a video with audio of his thoughts on the stadium. He's certainly not a no, but the way I took this, Danny, is, you know, they're going to do it on their own terms. He makes it clear a couple of things. Number one, he debunked the theory that the city council is trying to strip the stadium portion of the budget.
Right.
Now, they're not trying to take the stadium element away from the budget, which was reported by NBC4 at one point. In the last few days, he said that that's not true. So that's good to know. But the other thing that I thought he made pretty clear was this deadline that's a month away doesn't mean a whole lot to the city council. They're not playing ball with that deadline. The mayor, remember, came out this week and said, hey, guys, if you try to make a bunch of changes and you don't meet the deadline that the commanders and I have set for mid-July, then they're going to bring Maryland back to the table and we lose our exclusive negotiating window and maybe this won't happen. And it doesn't sound like Zachary Parker, as he lays it out from the city council perspective, and as he does his posturing here, cares a whole lot about that.
Right, and the who knows what's real there? I don't know if this is baked in. So in other words, if I tell you, Grant, you got a deadline of next Friday to pay me the $10 you owe me, I'd rather have the $10 than some sort of weird artificial deadline.
Yeah, so what if I come to you 4 days later with the $10? You're not going
to
take it?
I'm happy to take the $10. You know what I mean? So like, I don't know. I don't know how much is leverage. I don't know how much is posturing. I don't know how much is negotiating. I don't know how much is part and parcel with politics. I do know that it sounds like the council is not doing a run around hair on fire. We've got to get this done or else. This is part of a, you know, again, we care about this one part, the stadium, yay or nay, whatever it is, we want to know. they're doing their normal council business, right? Where like they need to go through the budget and take their time and this line item and that line item and do their normal, you know, tug of war. They are not beholden, it sounds like, according to him, to that, and I'm not trying to be trite about it, this artificial deadline that I'm not sure how real it is. I understand that they would like it done soon.
Well, you'll hear the clip we're about to play, but he basically says, Danny, it's impossible for us to meet the deadline.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's true or not. You know,
if it's all you were doing, you could meet it.
Well, if it's not all you were doing, if you wanted to meet it, you could meet it. I think you don't want to meet it because you don't like the deal and you're going to try to change a bunch of things in the deal. But you know, it wasn't that fun to stay up all night and cram for an exam either. But when the rubber met the road, you just kind of had to knock it out at George Mason University in the Johnson Center and show up at Robinson A the next day and take your exam. And so I think that if they wanted to meet the deadline, it's very possible they could make that happen if they agreed to the terms, but they don't right now. But let's listen to the audio here. We can stop it. It's a few-minute-long clip, so we can stop and start as we need to and react to different things he's saying. This is Zachary Parker of Ward 5. Now, I will just warn you, he says the word level set a lot. I think that means I'm trying to level with you. Someone else could explain what it means better. But I think it's just like a fancy way of him saying,
here's what's really going on.
Yeah, it's time for me to give you the real. But he says level set, which I've never heard, as if it's like a thing that is that I should know. But anyway, Zachary Parker, Ward 5.
There's been discrepancies about the council's intentions, and I want to make clear that the council has every intention to vote on this deal, to protect this deal, and move it forward. In fact, this week, the council met, and our discussion was about saving or safeguarding the money in the budget for this project, the money that the mayor already put in the budget, while we negotiate the language and the policy around the project. Not to get too in the weeds here, but there is a difference between the Budget Support Act, or the BSA, and the Local Budget Act, the LBA.
So he's going to get into some, you know, he does get into the weeds here, and I'll let you guys hear it, because you're smart and you'll be able to follow, probably better than I can. But very important quotes that he just said. We have every intention to vote on and protect this deal. That's good to know. The report this week was that maybe they weren't going to protect the deal. He said, we want to move it forward. I thought that was telling. He said, we are saving the money in the budget for this contract. I mean, that would make you, it sound like, maybe he's not a yes right now, but he's certainly not a no.
Yeah, meaning even if it's tweaked slightly, in general, it's earmarked as yes. Like, in other words, if we take it out, there's no chance.
Not to get too in the weeds here, but there is a difference between the Budget Support Act, or the BSA, and the Local Budget Act, the LBA. The LBA is where the money is. The BSA is where the language is. We would, in effect, leave the money in the LBA while we negotiate and wrestle with the details with the commanders, and so we can come up with a deal. That would also mean that at a later date, sometime this fall, a definitive date, not next year, not years from now, sometime this fall, after we've done our due diligence in vetting this process, negotiating with the commanders in good faith, we would vote on this project. There's also been a discrepancy about many of the challenges confronting the district from the federal government to locally. And I think it's worth noting that all of the decisions in the budget were not made because of federal pressures. The mayor made choices. We are on the brink of tens of thousands of Washingtonians potentially losing their housing benefits, their TANF benefits, their healthcare benefits. School budgets are slated to reduce in future years. The pay equity fund is slated to be eliminated in future years, including the child tax credit and so much more. Why am I bringing this up? Because this deal, the largest in the district's history, informs both our capital budget and our operating budget. Yes, it is true. Our operating budget is how we pay for many of the programs that serve as lifelines for Washingtonians. Our capital budget is how we fix our roadways, modernize our schools, pay for construction projects like the one at RFK. How we dedicate revenue from that project informs future operating budgets. That is why it is important that we wrestle with the details here.
What are some right there, super quick. To me, that is basically saying, whether you agree with him or not, simply this is what I think he's talking about is we spend now on a capital project with the idea that it would generate for us in the future. Right. So right now, the rent it's not going to help our revenue, our bottom line. When you spend a huge amount of money, you go, oh my God, there's less money for blankety blank. The point is, in the future, if it all goes well, this is the design, again, agree or disagree, up to you, is that we are then able to fill that one column that's taking an L right now, which is your local revenue operating normalcy budget. A capital project budget is usually separate with the idea that it'll eventually pay dividend for you and build the revenue. Whether you think this will or not, up to you, but that's what he's talking about.
Yeah, so to me, it sounds like, and he didn't really comment on a yay, nay, right, publicly, and he hasn't done the interviews that some of the other folks that came in here that we were able to pin down have, who said, yeah, I'm for it or I'm not for it as it's currently constituted. I would say he's not for it, though, as it's currently constituted, based on just reading between the lines and what he did say. But I like the idea that he did push back against the possibility that they were trying to rip this out of the budget and basically vote and leave the stadium out.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying we're moving this forward and we're keeping the money set aside to do a deal here. So that tells me that even if you're a no in the moment, you are willing to still come to the table and get something done. I wish we were further along, and I wish there was more excitement and more yeses. We knew this the day that that press conference was held, even the second press conference, the one with the commissioner and the president of the United States and the owner of the team and the mayor of D.C., the Avengers getting together on this deal. The city council was going to have their say, and they are enjoying having their say at this point.
They're all saying.
800-636-1067 is the number if you want to hop in. If you took anything out of that, we'll spin you around the NFL with some minicamp headlines next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
He's Danny, I'm Grant. This is The Fan at 6 o'clock, 12 minutes from now, right at the top of the hour, the Grant and Danny's Tony's Mailbag. We are soliciting questions now. Tweet us, at Grant H. Paulson, at Funny Danny. You can hit us up in the 106.7 The Fan YouTube chat as well. We want to hear from you there. Or you can call us. Line them up right now. And through our 6 o'clock segment, it's the G&D's Tony's Mailbag. It's our Ask Us Anything. Sports question, non-sports question. We get complaints sometimes about various things we didn't cover and talk enough about. This is our catch-me-all. This is how we get out of feeling bad about it. You get to call us. You get to ask us whatever you want. So we will discuss whatever you put on the agenda. Again, sports, non-sports. We'll do our best to answer the question. Coming up next segment, our Grant and Danny's Tony's Mailbag. Danny, let's go around the NFL with some of these storylines right now. In football, mini camp is ongoing, so it's been a busy week of NFL headlines. Starting with a pretty serious story out of Antonio Brown's neck of the woods. He has a warrant out issued for his arrest. The former NFL wide receiver, who at one point, Danny, was on his way on the precipice of maybe Hall of Fame status.
Yeah,
is that
seriously.
Good? A charge for attempted murder with a firearm has not stopped him from posting on social media. His social media posts, him riding a bike today, hasn't turned himself in, though. Brown has made a trio of Twitter posts just this afternoon while wanted. He's on the bike on the first one. Second, he posts a photo of an unnamed person and said, "This cracker did it. It wasn't me." And then finally, I'm reading from Pro Football Talk here. Mm-hmm. He posted two photos of him posing with boxing gloves, and he said, "What doesn't kill me makes me stronger. Want to play? Then play hard." The downfall of Antonio Brown is pretty tragic. I do hate that everyone always immediately just blames it on CTE or the Vontaze Burfict hit or whatever. Like, at some point, you got to be responsible for your actions, and that stopped being the case with him a long time ago. But this is one of the craziest, how good he was to how ridiculous a human being he is now in a really short period of time. It was like 7 years from the top of the mountain to the bottom for him.
Yeah, we've seen falls from grace before, and there are never things to celebrate, but that's exactly what's happening here. I kind of don't know. I never know what he's talking about when he shares publicly like that. You know what I mean? I never kind of understand or know who he's yelling at or who he's upset with or what he considers himself, if he's the victim of something. Again, I don't know. I also don't like to do the armchair psychiatric evaluation that people seem comfortable doing based on it's because of this or that. I mean, you know, you haven't examined him. So I don't know either way. I just know that it's like jaw-dropping every time you read something new.
Okay, other NFL headlines as far as what's actually going on the field. The Cincinnati Bengals and their rookie Shamar Stewart at an impasse still. Stewart has not signed his contract. The dispute is over offset language. According to Adam Schefter yesterday on ESPN, he said what the Bengals are trying to get Shamar Stewart to sign is different than what they have had previous rookies sign.
This is the key to me.
He was the 17th overall pick. It sounds like they're trying to protect themselves in the event that something goes sideways off the field. And Shamar Stewart is standing his ground with his agent to say, "I'm not going to sign that." Now, my feeling all along has been these deals are pretty uniform. There's not a whole lot of wiggle room here. How is this so complicated? But it does indeed sound like they're trying to change what is the norm. And if that is the case, it's hard to fault with the team, to side with the team, rather, and fault the player, for me.
Yeah, looking at the you know, again, it's above my pay grade, understanding advanced contract language, but here reading and seeing some smart people talk about it, there is language in there that's totally unusual, totally different than what anyone else would have signed in that spot. And Stewart and his agent are going, "Why me? Why am I the one subject to this? And none of the other first-round picks are." It's usually reserved for what happens to the second and third rounders. Of the guys that haven't signed yet, it's like 90% of them are those dudes because of this thing called offset language. And it's, you know, basically a team saying, "In case of injury, I want to be able to protect myself, not have to pay you, blah, blah, blah." And it's completely out of the ordinary for first-round picks. This really sounds like a Bengals' own goal to me.
Why do the Dallas Cowboys always wait so long to pay their best players who they're going to pay eventually anyway? They cost themselves so much more money. They did this with Dak Prescott. They did this with CeeDee Lamb. And now they're doing it again with Micah Parsons.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad they do. I'm glad they screw this up constantly.
That's great.
I don't want them to be run well. He became eligible for a contract extension after the 2023 season. That was two off seasons now of being able to sign him, and it has not happened. He's still waiting on his deal. He told Clarence Hill of All City on Thursday, quote, "It's going to cost them more." Well, no kidding.
Yeah.
It's almost like they could have learned from the lessons that they were taught from Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb. Parsons last year, by the way, his sack totals dipped to 12, his lowest total in the NFL, and yet because he still made 40-plus tackles, had the worst year of his career, was still a Pro Bowler, was still in the top 20 in DPOY voting, his value didn't change. It went up. Like, he got worse statistically, and how much you pay him went up because of all the guys that have been paid during the intermediary time.
Yeah, you put in enough deposit to the bank of excellence, and even if it's not statistically a dominant year, he's still such an impact player, still leads the team in everything possible, still is one of the more feared defenders in the league, still is the guy at the top of the call sheet for offensive coordinators to figure out where he is and what is he doing on any given play. We're not running anything until we know what number 11 is doing, right? Where he lines up, who he's lining up against, where do we need to reinforce and help? He is a dominant player. He's excellent. So, yeah, you let guys do more of that, and you owe him more.
We'll end with a quick note on the Commanders. Of course, Noah Brown carted off the field at practice going back a couple of days ago at minicamp. Terry McLaurin was not at the facility again this week as he awaits a new contract. He and the team at odds as they negotiate. I still say there is nothing to worry about here. I'm giving it a 2% chance this becomes a major problem. He'll be at training camp. I think in the end, Terry McLaurin signs for around $33 million a year.
That's my guess. Somewhere between 32 and 34. It may end up being, we look at the AAV, and depends on who you're asking. You know, if it's the agent, it'll be maybe a little inflated. And you look at from the team's perspective, they'll try to, hide some of those numbers or maybe give a big show, a song and dance. That's where it's going to boil down to in my mind. It's really about the guaranteed money and, what it looks like on the back end of the contract for me that I care about. I don't care about if I have to overpay Terry McLaurin, quote unquote, for a couple of years while I'm still underpaying Jaden Daniels by 90%, right? When it gets down to that year's 27, 28, what those cap numbers look like for my opportunity to go add to the football team, that's where I care a little bit more. So I think they're smart enough to realize that.
All right, next, Grant and Danny's Tony's Mailbag, our Ask Us Anything, sports, non-sports, a team or a sport we don't talk a whole lot about, you want to hear us break down, it's your opportunity. 800-636-1067, it's how we end the week. Plus, we'll get you ready for Nats baseball on the Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores, fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.